Thank you. Well, good morning. It's good to be back. I want to thank each of y'all for the opportunity that you give us as ministers to be gone last week to the ministers' enrichment thing. Sometimes it doesn't look like a whole lot of fun when you're headed up there, but the value that we get from it, it's priceless. Being able to sit in on some of the sessions and even getting to see people time after time and getting to know them and friendships that are made, it's invaluable for us. So thank you for that. This morning, I feel like I'm going to do a continuation of our Sunday school lesson. I didn't even realize what the Sunday school lesson was about until after I had had my sermon prepared. But there's something in our lives that each one of us deals with, and I heard a message by Francis Chan, and I would have rather just played that. This morning he did so much better of a job sharing it than what I can possibly do. But as he started off, he said, this is a message that he doesn't really like to preach because nobody wants to admit that they have a problem with pride. And so the people that actually have a problem with pride say they don't have a problem with pride, so if you try to share on pride, nobody hears it. So he asked the people in his audience, if you would just possibly, just for a moment, think that you might have a problem with pride as he preached his sermon. Think this, maybe I do have a problem with it. So I guess that is my thought. He also said that pride is something that deep down in our hearts we all know that we deal with at some point in time. And it's seen as something that, well, something we all deal with, you know, it's not really that big of a deal. It's, maybe it's a sin, you know, to have pride, but, you know, we all have pride. He actually said that, if I got up here and said that I struggle with lust, and, he said, you'd probably have a different perspective of me than if I said I struggle with pride. But yeah, pride is seen as something that, you know, there's good pride and there's bad pride, or, you know, it's not as maybe black and white, but yet a lot of us do have pride, and we're going to talk about some of the ways that pride affects our lives. And one of the things that pride will do, and I'm not very proud of my illustration this morning, because I don't have a pump that pumps very fast. But pride, and it may not get to the point, pride puffs up, and it keeps going. And the more pride you have in your life, it just keeps going. And pride will eventually cause destruction. And I'm not sure that I'm going to get there with this pump. But at some point in your life, pride will bring you down. If my dad were here right now, he'd be crawling under one of the chairs. Pride will eventually be the downfall of what you are. And as I thought about it, one of the examples that I looked up was the Titanic. And everybody knows about the Titanic. The Titanic was the unsinkable ship. When they built it, they said it couldn't be sunk. Why is everybody holding their ears? This balloon is full of pride. And it's going to lead to its demise. Hopefully. Anybody got a pen? Okay. Okay. If that balloon was filled with pride, it eventually led to, if I would have just, I didn't really squeeze it hard, I just kind of squeezed it just a little bit. If it wouldn't have been so full, it would not have popped so easily. But the Titanic, one of the things that led to, several of the things led to its demise, but one of them was pride. The shipbuilders said that they had built an unsinkable ship. This ship was, it had compartments that they could seal off, and it could, you know, if something happened, it wouldn't sink. That was one of their things that they had, one of the pride issues that they had. Another one was that the captain was on his last voyage, and one of their sister ships had traveled across in a certain amount of days, and he was trying to beat that. His last voyage, he was going to beat that time. He was going to plow right through. They were warned, another ship, I think it was the Californian, something like that maybe, had radioed them and said, there's icebergs ahead. It's foggy. It's dark. You can't see them. That ship actually stopped in the middle of the night and waited till morning because they said you can't see what's going on. The radio man didn't think it was important, and they plowed on through full steam and into the iceberg. It caused them to sink. They wouldn't have had pride. A lot of lives could have been saved. Part of the blame was placed on that ship that had warned them about the icebergs. The captain of that ship had went to bed, and somebody that was on the night watch had woke him up at one point and said, looks like something is going on, the ship is shooting flares off. But he refused to go to their aid. He didn't know what they were shooting it off for, and he wasn't going to check. I imagine part of it was he was upset because he had warned them, and they had disregarded his warning. And I imagine he had pride in his heart, and he said, well, you do what you want to do, you know, that's up to you. But that was pride as well. Pride is a feeling of or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. The achievements of those with whom one is closely associated or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Jerry spoke of it in praise and worship. Everything that we do should be pointing towards Christ, not to ourselves. Why do we drive what we drive? Why do we live where we live? Why do we do what we do? Is it to bring glory to ourselves, glory and honor to ourselves, or is it to bring glory and honor to Christ, to God? Do we care more about what people think about us, or do we care about what people think about God, about Christ? Pride will not allow you to admit that you are wrong or that you have weaknesses. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. Says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It says, this parable, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. He was speaking to the Pharisees. So they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They had pride and despised others. They had pride in their life. They thought that what they were doing was better than everyone else. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. What the Pharisee prayed, for the most part, was not wrong. He could have said, God, I thank you that I'm not an extortioner, I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer. But he had pride in his heart. When he said, I'm not like other men, I'm better than everybody else. And you know, we can look at this man and say, how could you say these things, you know, that you're better than other people? But yet, how many of us want to admit our faults? Want to admit when we struggle, problems that we face? Sometimes I sit there in my seat or stand there during praise and worship and I want to say something, but I don't say it because I have pride. Fearful of what others will think, what will others say. Sometimes we don't want to admit our faults, admit our sins, confess them. Why? Because we're prideful. We don't want others to think bad of us. So are we like this Pharisee? You know, what he did maybe wasn't wrong. You know, fasting twice a week, that's good. To give tithes of all that I possess, those are all good things. The fact that he wasn't an extortioner, an unjust, and an adulterer, those are all good things. When he compared himself to someone else and said, I'm thankful that I'm not like him, that was wrong. That was prideful. Luke 14. I'm going to read one to six and then I'll go on. A pride thinks it knows better. Pride thinks I know better than someone else. Better than God. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. We know from other scriptures that the Pharisees were upset when Christ would heal people on the Sabbath. And why were they upset? Because they had made rules over and above what God's laws were. To put things on other people. Put things on them to make things, people suffer, make people obey what they had put on rather than what God had. And this was kind of a new concept for me, new thought, but yet it's so true. How many times do we think that we know better than God? Why, you know, whatever it is why, one of the things could be, why did God allow this to happen? You know what, this isn't right. But yet God has a better plan. You know, if I was to look at Jerry or Wesley or Wendell and say, you should build a cabinet this way, and they would tell me, no, it should be this way. And yet I would say, I know better. I'm going to build it my way. Pretty sure it would fall apart. If I was to try to compare my skills as an architect to Dwight's, my building would collapse, even if I think I knew better. If I had that pride in my heart that said, you know what, yeah, Dwight's an architect and he spent 4 years, he did go to Clemson, 8 years, whatever it was, but he did go to Clemson. Dwight knows a lot more about buildings than what I know. If I was to try to build something, a big structure, it wouldn't last. Pride as a downfall would be my downfall. Other than the fact that I don't know anything about it. A quote I heard was that we have our own opinions of the way we think God things should happen. God has his rules set in motion. We have our own way of thinking that we think things should be different. But this is God's universe that he created. So when we create our own universe, we can have our own ideas. God's universe, His plan, His way of doing it. You know, when we think we know better than what this Bible is, that's pride in our lives. That's not being obedient. One of the things that Francis Chan said that really hit me was, how many times do I obey the Bible when I don't believe it? Even when I don't believe it. You know, if I don't agree with it, if the human side of me wants to say, you know what, I don't want to do this, how many times do I do it? You know, is that something that there's parts of it that, man, it'd just be easier if we could do away with this part. Let's just do away with this part. But yet, because it's in here, we know it's God's word, that we do it and are obedient to what God has called us to. Going on with this, pride says, look at me. Look at what I have done. Verse 7 says, so he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Christ was sitting with the Pharisees. He was sitting down with them. He noticed when they came in where they all sat, how they all wanted to sit towards the higher spots. How many of us do the same thing? When you go to a wedding, somewhere like that, you want to sit as close to that bridal party as you can, you know, so you can see what's going on or something like that. How many of us do that? But yet there's seats that are reserved for the family. If you were to go sit in those seats, somebody would come tell you, those are for the family, bud. You're going to have to go back here. Pride doesn't see that. Pride wants everybody to see me. Everybody to see what I have done. Luke 12:13-21 says, then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge and arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke of a parable, saying to them, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then when those things, whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It says one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. You've heard the phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins. It's not true. It's not about what we possess. It's not about what we have. You know, there are people that are blessed, and there's nothing wrong with being blessed. What this rich man had, there was nothing wrong with what he did. With what he, the ground that he had, the ground yielded plentifully, God blessed him. But yet his response was, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, he had pride in his heart. He thought, you know what? I've got all this stuff. I've got it made. I'll just sit back. Another example was in Daniel chapter 4, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, and I won't read the whole thing. But there's parts of it I want to bring out to you. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Nobody could interpret the dream, so he called for Daniel. And the dream was that there was a tree that grew up, and someone came down, a watcher came down and cut the tree down. and everything scattered underneath of it. And in the dream, the watcher that came down told him in the dream, says, "This decision by the decree of the watchers and the sentence of the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." So he was told in this dream that, you know what? The Holy One, God, Most High, sets things in order. He asked for his interpretation from Daniel, and Daniel interpreted it. And he told him that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose your kingdom for 7 years, and you're going to live as a beast in the field for 7 years. He told him, repent. Verse 27 says, "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity." Going on, verse 28 says, "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar." Verse 29 says, "At the end of the 12 months, he was walking around the royal palace of Babylon. And the king spoke, saying, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?'" He made it a year without it, without being prideful about it. But when he spoke those words, "This is mine. Look what I have done. Look what I have built. Everyone knows me. All around know who I am. I have built by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty." He said, "While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses.' That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws." He was driven from his perch, from his mighty place up on the top of his tower, wherever he was at, in his palace. He was driven from there. Went out to the field and spent 7 years there. Dropping down, says, "After 7 years, At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever." It took him 7 years till the Lord restored his sanity to him. It says, "For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down." It was in this moment that he realized that it wasn't him who had done these things. God had allowed him to come to power. God had used him. And he realized that God was able to take him down and to put someone else in power. Those who walk in pride, he's able to put down. Pride is the collapse of many things. Pride brought down the Titanic. Pride can destroy anything. It will destroy a church. It will destroy a marriage. It will destroy your future, your job. Whatever it is, pride will destroy it if you do not realize what is going on. If you do not. Just a few more verses about pride and what God says about pride. Proverbs 16, verse 5, and then verse 18. It says, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, no one will go unpunished." Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Is that what you want? Is that what I want? To be an abomination to the Lord? That's how Christ, how God sees pride. Verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. 19 says, better to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride will bring you down. Pride says as a pride will go before destruction. It will bring down. It will bring nations down. It will bring people down. James 4, verse 6 and 7. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm going to keep reading down to verse 10. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do you want to be one that God resists? Do you want to be an abomination to God? I don't think anybody wants that. At the end of those chapters, two of those chapters that I read in Luke, it says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Where it says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And who humbles himself will be, God will exalt them. God has a way of making things happen that even when we think we know better, God has a way of bringing it down. Like Daniel said, like Nebuchadnezzar said, those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. You know, God is almighty, all powerful. There's no room in our lives for pride. If we want to be followers of Christ, we heard this morning in our Sunday school lesson, those disciples who wanted to be first, God said, that's not what we're here for. We're here to be a servant. We're here to serve. I'm here to serve. We talked a little bit about it. Politics. Not much about politics, but yet politicians. Their intent when they go to Washington, they say, is to serve. They want to serve the people, but they're not there very long before their objectives change. And they want to be served. They want people to serve them. The last scripture I have is Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. It's talking about Satan and the downfall of Satan. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High. It says, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest pit, lowest depths of the pit. Satan wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to rule. And God said, no, I have created you. And he cast him out of heaven. We all have choices in our lives. Things that we're faced with. Are we going to be proud? Are we going to admit that we're wrong? In relationships, in family, in church, differences of opinion come up. Different things happen. If you're not willing to admit that you're wrong, if you're not willing to say you're sorry, if you're thankful that you're not like someone else who is wrong, pride will lead to destruction. I just want to close with that that last little bit, that sinner, that tax collector. His words, and the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. If we're not able to say, God, I'm a sinner. I was wrong. I am wrong. Then we've got problems in our lives. We've got pride in our life. And no, it's not the easy thing to do. But yet we have to be willing to admit when we're wrong, to admit that maybe we do have pride in our life, and to confess it. That is all I have this morning. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And I thank you for another week, another day you've given to us. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we go from here this week. Father, I pray that we would live our lives for you, that you would be honored and you would be glorified. Father, I pray that we would seek to bring you honor and glory in our lives, that we would seek to portray you and not ourselves this week, in the coming weeks. Father, I pray that you would just lead us and guide us. Be with us today. I pray that you would bring us back safely here tonight. Pray for the service tonight, that you would be lifted up through it. Pray for the family that's going to be singing. Father, I pray that you would just go with us all. Keep us in your care. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.